Continue in our study of the seven churches. And the seven churches found in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We're in chapter 3, verse 14. And this is the last of the seven. Someone say, Jesus saved the best for last. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and reverence God's word. And we're going to read 14 through 22. Very familiar scriptures for even the beginning Bible reader. The Church of the Laodiceans. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with hyssop, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, all written in red, oh, it's so sweet to hear the words of our Lord and Savior. All that he loves, he chastens. Father God, it's good to know that we have been chastened But Father God, we pray right now, Father God, that you would just speak to our hearts. Give us a word, Father God. Clear us up, Father God, where we may be weary, Father God. Strengthen us, Father God, as you did to the Church of Philadelphia. That's giving them just a little strength. But Father God, we want you to open a door for us. So Father God, we ask that you would just speak clearly and plainly through your word. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Laodicean church and the title of this sermon this morning, the most successful church in the world. The most successful church in the world. And the emphasis is on in the world's opinion. In the world's opinion, this is a successful church. This would be a mega, mega church. Laodicean, the word means two things. We talk about the Nicolaitans and in the Greek, Nikai means ruler. And Leo means laity. So laity means people. So in the sense of the Nicolaitan church, it was the church was ruled by government, by the priests and the high priests. The opposite is true with the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church, the laity ruled. So you see a contrast here. This church here ran itself. It ran itself and it didn't care what God said about anything. It's what we do here. Laodicean was known for four major things. The first, it was a major trade route. It was a major commerce town where people came to and from all the shipping ports. So that brought a lot of wealth there. It was a banking city. Sort of like Charlotte, North Carolina. For some reason, bankers just congregate there. And it was a city known for its great banking. So people would leave their money there. And as a result, the city was prosperous. It was known, secondly, for a fashion center of that day. In Laodicea, they had a sheep, a certain breed of sheep that grew black wool. Okay? And they would intertwine this black wool in all their fabrics, and people would come from all over the world to buy this expensive wool. The third thing, it was a place of great medical centers. So there was a lot of back then what we called hospitals and medical centers, and they specialized in an eye salve. Okay? And this was to help, I believe, clear your eyes up or even to heal them. I'm not going to go as far as say it heals blindness or anything like that, but it was known for an eye salve. The fourth thing it was known for, it was known for the fact that it had no water supply. Imagine that, a great city without a water supply. And I'm saying all these things because Jesus is going to use them. He's going to use them as we go through this text. But they had no water supply. Hierapolis was 10 miles away. And it was known for its hot springs. So people would go there and they would get into the hot water and they would heal. Colossians was 6 miles away and it was known for its cold springs. So people would go there and that water was just icy cold. And in that environment, in that country, that had to be refreshing. But as you know, piping any amount of water from 10 miles away or 6 miles away, the hot water would soon be cold and the cold water would soon be hot. And what God had said about this church, you need a hot or cold, or cold or hot. And what had happened, the water was a picture of the world coming into the church. And the church had took on the personality of the water, and it had become lukewarm. Okay? So that's just a background. Verse number 14. And he said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now that's an interesting picture right there. Mm-hmm. Of the Laodiceans. He never said that about any other church. Okay. He always would say the church in Ephesus or the church in Sardis. But this was a church run totally by the people, and they had no concerns about what God thought they was doing. That's a sad thing, ain't it? He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen and faithful and true witness. God has given his credentials. See, when God is going to judge any of us, and all of us will be judged, we will not have a right to say, who do you think you are? Because God is going to give his credentials first to this church before he judges them. He says, I am the Amen.
Amen.
And we say amen in church all the time. Really what we're saying is, I agree with the word of God. Okay? That's true. Whether I like it or not, it's true. You know, we like to say, God said it, I believe it. That's settled. And no, God said it. That settles it. Because he is the Amen. And if that wasn't enough, he said, not only that, he said, I am the Amen, the faithful and true witness. He said, when I judge you, when I test you, when I see you and look through you, because I can see what common folks don't see. I'm always right. That's what God is saying. He has that right there. I am always right. I'm always true. I'm always faithful. Has there ever been a time in your life where you thought God wasn't faithful? If you did, you were wrong. Because God is good. He's good all the time. He's good when he's given, and he's good when he's taken. Because God is good. And he's faithful. And he's given his credentials. And then he says one thing towards the end. He says, not only that, I am the beginning of the creation of the world. Now that's an interesting one. Because the Jehovah's Witness, when they come to your house, they will use that one to dispel Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, he couldn't be, because they'll go, well, Revelation chapter 3 says this. No. Mark this down. You take them to John 1 and 3. You take them to John 1 and 3 and listen what it says. Some of us know it. I like to read stuff. Listen what it says. Now I'm going to read 1 and 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. As soon as you say to the Jehovah's Witness to knock on your door, let's go to St. John chapter 1. This is what verse 3 says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So when Jesus said, I am the creator or the created of all things, he knew what he was talking about. He was the creation of God. He wasn't created by God, but he created everything as God. So he was just giving the Laodiceans a little background of who they was dealing with. Now he gets to their rebuke. He says, I know thy works. Okay. I know your deeds. See, talk is cheap in God's economy. Okay? Because faith without work is dead. He said, I know thy works. And this is the only church he had nothing to say good about. He said, I know thy works. What were they? Anybody see it there? He said, I know thy works. Comma. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot.
Now some folks say, well, I understand hot. I can understand we ought to be hot for God. We ought to be warmed up. We ought to be excited. We ought to be fervent in our behavior for God. But why? Why would God say, I wish that you were cold? Cold represents indifference. A cold person is not even, you talk to a cold person, you say, you know Jesus Christ, and they'll say, I don't believe in the Bible, I don't go to church, I have nothing to do with it. Okay? That's a cold person.
Amen.
And that cold person is not going to be an indictment to the church. So when you see that cold person out in the streets cussing and swearing and drinking and partying and doing whatever they want to do, you know, they're not hurting the church. Because no one's going to say, well, I just seen her at church the other day. She goes to church every Sunday. That's how she act. Or that's how he act. So a cold person is not going to affect the church. And God was saying that. But a lukewarm one is dangerous. See, lukewarm water causes disease. See, the earthquake in Haiti was a major problem. But the second major problem in Haiti was the water supply. Because once that water became contaminated, then folks was getting all type of diseases, and that's what killed a lot of people. So anything lukewarm. Lukewarm. You go to a restaurant and you get a coffee and you start talking and next thing you know that coffee has gotten lukewarm on you. And you go to tip it up and it's just not good. And because you're the restaurant, you don't spit it back in the cup if it's real bad. And then you just tell the waitress, you know, sometimes you just can't tell her to heat it up. You know, if you need to pour that all, I just need a fresh cup. Okay, if you're a coffee drinker. Now, if you warm it up to where it's a little warmer, but I like it hot. Listen to what he says. He says, I wish that thou wert cold or hot. That's interesting. But we have to ask ourselves that. In light of what God is saying here, what are you? What am I? Am I cold? No, you're not cold because you're in church. We don't, anybody in this room today, you only have two choices in here. Because you're not cold. Because you're in church. I tell my boys this all the time. You go to school, you go to E.J. Blotter, you represent the church. Y'all fighting on the way home from Bible study, from vacation Bible school. There's a problem with that. That's what he says. He says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That word spewing, I don't want to be real graphic, but really it means I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Anybody in here like to vomit? It just hurt. Okay, there's some folks that want to be so slim and beautiful that they eat and then they stick a stick or a spoon down their throat just to induce it. That's crazy stuff.
Amen.
Verse 17, and we move along. He's going to indict them now. He's told them who he was. He's told them their works. They had none. And then he says, you're lukewarm. You're warm. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. And he says, here's why I'm going to judge you. Verse number 17. He says, because thou sayest. Okay? Because thou sayest. That's a said faith. That's a said faith. You know, some folks have a what they call a said faith. Well, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is who I am. This is what I believe. That's all you do is hear it. You don't see it. God is looking for something that he can see. Faith is an action word. It's an action word. It's how's it go? Faith without works is dead. And without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich. How did they get rich? This church got rich on its own. It had nothing to do with God. They got rich on their own. They got rich because they was a commerce town. You talking about some folks with college degrees and I'm rich. I got a college degree. I own a home. My children are doing well. They're in college. They're doing well. And I'm rich. And not only were they rich, they said, I am increased with goods. Sound like rich fool, don't it? And we've been studying the rich fool all week. The rich fool, talked about all that he had. He didn't talk about anybody else. He didn't talk about a mother, a father, a brother, a sister. He didn't talk about a nephew. He didn't talk about grandchildren. It was all about him. And he said, I am rich. Then he said, what should I do with this stuff? Because I really don't want nobody to know I'm rich. I don't think this was the problem with Laodicea. They wanted people to know they were rich. They wanted people to know. And he said, not only were they rich, they were increased with goods. They had big stuff. Big cars, big houses. This was a prosperous, prosperous church with wealthy, wealthy members. Okay? And we have these type of churches there. Many of us wouldn't be welcome. Some churches, you sit, your seating arrangements is based on how you give. And you go to some of these churches and they're selling you the programs. Okay, you walk in and the program is $15. It's like going to a Browns game. Program, they got a guy programs over here. And you go over there and you buy a program because it's worth keeping, I guess. He said, I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing. And there's another parable we studied this week about the Pharisee and the publican. And the publican, when the publican went to pray, he bowed his head and said, woe is me. But when the Pharisee went to pray, all he had to do was just thank God for everything he had. And basically, he was looking God right in the eye. I say, when the Pharisee stood, he looked God right in the eye and said, God, me and you got it together. And just like you, I don't need anything. I'm not really here to pray about anything. I don't have no prayer requests. I don't have no concerns. I don't have no ailments. Listen, I got it all together thanks to you. And God called him a fool. God called him a fool because he was going to hell. And he had his ticket in his hand. And this is what he said. He said, I have need of nothing. Talking about this church. And knowest that thou art wretched. Now Jesus is sitting here going to take it all and bring it all back to him. I'm going to bring it all back to them. And here's this church thinking that they got it all together. They have all the wealth. They probably had a 200-member band. All right. Probably cutting CDs all over the country. And they had it all together in their own eyes. We're doing communion today, and the Bible says, the Word of God says, we ought to what? Examine ourselves. When we look at this text here, how do we respond to it? Many of us in here are rich. The poorest person in here is richer than millions of people in this country.
Amen.
Some folks make $2 a day, and I'm not talking about people that are incarcerated. Some folks make $2 a day. And they're surviving. And they have to be richer than the richest person in here. He says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And listen to what Jesus said. And knowest not that thou art wretched. Could you imagine God saying this to this church, to these people? He said, thou knowest that thou art wretched. What's wretched mean? Wretched mean that you are vile and sinful. He's telling this to this church. He said, you're vile and sinful. Then he says, you're miserable. You're worth pitying. You're depressed. You're bitter. Anybody know folks like that?
Yeah.
They got it all together. Yeah. You read the news. You watch this stuff. And these folks is on drugs and alcohol and committing suicide and marrying and divorcing and all this. And they got all the wealth in the world. But they are wretched and miserable. Then Paul uses the lowest word he could use for a beggar. He says, thou art poor. They have nothing. You are spiritually poor, spiritually miserable, spiritually wretched. And this is a church that was increasing in goods and had need of nothing. They didn't have to have a fundraiser. They didn't have to take up a collection. This, some of these churches don't even take up a collection. They got ATM machines in the church now. Automatic tithe machines. This is true. And you just put your card, swipe your card. Or they just automatically deduct your money for your church out of your checking account every month or every week.
Amen.
He said they're not only that, they not only are miserable and poor, but then he says they're blind. Spiritually blind. Spirit wouldn't know the word of God if it just shined right on. They were spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. You ever talk to some folks spiritually blind? They see no wrong in nothing. You talk to some folks in the churches now, they're same-sex marriage in the church. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Nothing wrong with it. Churches is voting on stuff like that. How do you even vote on that? We got to take up a vote to see if this is okay. Now, what kind of church is that? What type of church has to vote on whether two women can come to church and get married? Who would have thought that we would stoop to this low? But this is that type of church. They're blind spiritually. They don't see wrong in anything. And then they're naked. And that word naked means they're perishing. They're without God, and you without God, you're perishing. This doesn't matter what kind of clothes you wear. You can be fully dressed and be naked spiritually. The Bible says our people perish, Hosea 4:6. Our people perish for a lack of knowledge. A church that's not learning and growing spiritually in the Word of God is perishing. This is why this church here is committed to sound Bible teaching.
Amen.
God forbid you spend 20, 30, 40 years in church and die and go to hell.
Amen.
Many on that day said to me, Lord, Lord, I've sat in church all my life. I may have missed one service. There's folks that think like that. I've sat in the same seat in a church for 30 years. I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
And Jesus would say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked individual. God forbid that anyone would sit under the teaching of this church and die and go to hell. The Word of God calls Jesus Christ the Great Counselor. The Great Counselor. Now you know what's coming to my spirit. How do these people get blind? Second Corinthians 4. Let me read some scripture. I get to talking. Let's read some scripture. Bring some clarity to some of this. 2 Corinthians 4:4. From a blind believers, a blind folk. This is what it says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. This is Paul talking. God forbid someone would listen to Paul's preaching and die and go to hell. Paul said, I was determined not to preach anything but Christ crucified.
Amen.
Verse 2, he said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what a Bible Christian ought to do. It ought to shake your conscience. It ought to make you realize that I'm in the presence of God.
Yes.
Not because the preacher is God, because he's preaching the word of God.
Yes, sir.
But if our gospel, verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Yes.
Are you lost today? Is the gospel message hid to you? Do you have no desire for it? This is what he says, verse 4. If that's the case, in whom the God of this world That's Satan, folks. He's the prince of the power of the air, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the question. Do you really believe the word of God? Do you really believe that God's word is true? Or are you blind? Listen, Paul says, who is the image of God? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ's sake. Are you blind? If you are, Jesus gives you some great advice. Amen. Reverend Jones took the scripture I was going to use, Isaiah 55. But he's a great counselor. I mean, we take counsel from a lot of people, and we get in jams, and we take counsel from a lot of people. And y'all know, I know we like Pastor Oprah and Pastor Phil and some of them guys. I know we like that. But here's great counsel right here for this unbelieving church. And this was written to a church. This was written to a church that thought they had it all together. Listen to Jesus' counsel. He said, I counsel thee. Oh, we see the grace of our Lord. He's so gracious and so graceful. He's so full of grace and mercy. Here's a church that wanted nothing to do with him, and he's still extending his love to him. To a people that don't want nothing to do with him. We got it all together. We have need of nothing. And God is still so gracious. Gracious. Listen to what he says. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Here's a commerce town. Here's a town that's used to buying and selling. The merchant ships would come and they would buy and sell. And now here's God saying, buy from me. Gold tested in the fire. He's talking about your faith. He's talking about a faith that's going to hold up. All this other stuff you have is not going to hold up. You need something that's going to be with you 5 seconds after you close your eyes for the last time.
Amen.
That's when all this other stuff, you can have all the money in the world. And I said it on Wednesday or Thursday, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, Dale Earnhardt, all these guys had all the money in the world. But it couldn't buy him one more day. It couldn't buy him one more day. Jesus is telling this carnal church, he said, buy of me gold tried and tested in the fire. And that fire is talking about Jesus Christ. That thou mayest be rich. You want to be rich? You're going to get some of what I have. Get some of this faith that I have. This faith that's tried and tested. And listen, what else he says in verse 18. And he says, and then instead of all that fancy garment, all the fancy clothes you like to wear, he said, I don't mean anything neither. He says, you ought to buy from me white garment, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And he's talking about being clothed in the righteousness of God. There's a story about the great wedding feast. And Jesus invited all the big shots in town, and they all made excuses.
Yes.
They all made excuses. Oh, I have a wife, and I have some cattle, and I just started a business, and they made all these excuses. And Jesus said, forget about them. Don't worry about them. Go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And he brought in all the poor, all the wretched, all those that couldn't give him nothing in return.
Yeah.
Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. This is what he's telling this church. But put on this white raiment. Because one person showed up at that wedding feast. And he had on what he wanted to wear. Let me read that story. This is fascinating. Matthew 22:11. Listen. He invited all those folks to come in. And the king came to the party himself. And the king represents God. And when the king came to see the guests, Matthew 22:11, he saw there was a man which had not on wedding garment. In a wedding in those days, when you came in, they gave you a white robe to put on, let you know that you were part of the party. And verse 12, he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? What this man was doing, he was coming to Christ in his own righteousness, in his own works. They hadn't been tested and tried by the fire. He was coming on his own terms. So you can't come to the Jesus on your own terms. Amen. And he was speechless. Of course he didn't have nothing to say. And then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Get him out of here and cast him into outer darkness where he belongs. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For many are called, and few are chosen. And we have something to do with whether we're going to be chosen or not. If we don't want to put on God's righteousness, then we really saying we don't want to be chosen. I'll say it all the time and I'll say it again today. Everybody that's in heaven wants to be there. You got to want to be in heaven. Listen to what he says. One other thing he says. And he says, and that thou shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Then he says something else. And this is fascinating. And anoint thy eyes. Remember, this town was known for its medicinal oils. He says, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see it. Now we take that word anoint and we just mess it all up. Okay? Now we've been studying on Wednesday night in 1 John 2:20-27. And he said, you must have the anointing of God. That's a picture of being regenerated. He's saying, this eye saw I have, it's not going to make you see just visually. Your whole body is going to see. Your whole body is going to be anointed and you're going to be regenerated and things are going to just fall off of you and you will see clearly now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and that has to happen.
Yes.
And Jesus is saying to this church, you have an opportunity because I'm right here asking you, take this eye salve of mine. Did they take it? I don't know. Verse 19 says, as many as I love, the tenderness of Jesus' words, the kindness of Jesus' words, some of us don't want to be rebuked. Some of us in here right now, hard heart. Oh, this man, every Sunday, talking about hell. Only talk about love and prosperity and you know, going to Disney World or, you know, Vegas or anything. It's all heaven or hell. Paul said, I preach Christ.
Yeah.
And him crucified. As many as I love. Here's a loving part of Jesus Christ. Here's a loving part of him. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. He rebuked Jezebel.
Yeah.
He rebuked the church of Ephesus, they had lost their first love. He rebuked the church of Pergamos. He said they had worshipped Balaam and all the false doctrine. He still gave them a chance. And here he's about to give this church a chance. He said, as many as I love. He's talking to his churches now. We can't lose the context of this lesson. He said, as many as I love. He's talking about the church, for God so loved the world. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ what? Love the church that he died for. Christ loves his church. I don't care how bad we get. I don't care how bad any church is in this town or California, Texas, wherever. God still loves them. This is a wonderful message to the church. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Oh, lest we not be the children of God. You love your children? All of us in here that have children, oh, sometimes they hurt us, but we have to rebuke them and chasten them. Boy, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Tell your young daughters, listen, sweetie, that is not the man I was praying for.
Yeah.
That's not the one. You got to wait. That ain't the one. I'm praying for the man of your dreams. That's not him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Then he says, be zealous. Be zealous, be excited, be energetic, and therefore, what? Repent, turn. You hear always a turn or burn. Turn, repent. A change of mind, a change of behavior, a change of attitude.
Amen.
Repent. He's given them an opportunity. And now we get to verse 20, we got one of the most messed up scriptures in the Bible. Folks just mess it up because they take it out of context. This is why it's so important that you preach through the Bible. And it goes pop in here and pop in there. This isn't a scripture for unsaved people. Folks, God standing outside your door knocking. No. God's not standing outside your door knocking. This is a scripture to the church. He's saying if there's one person in the church, how many people say you open the door? Just one. Just one in the deadest church in the town, if the Spirit of God comes. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So all that has to happen is it's in the deadest church in this town. You let one Spirit-filled, born-again, blood-bought, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled person come into that church, he's going to change the atmosphere. Or he's going to change the atmosphere. I don't know what one person is here, but one person in here opened a door.
Yeah.
You might have took some heartache and pain. They might have tried to put you out.
Yeah.
See, unsaved church folk are put out a Holy Ghost full person.
Yeah.
You got to get up out of here with all that.
Yeah.
All that talk about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. We want to stay dead.
Yeah.
Lightness and darkness don't mix. Somebody got to go. Now I haven't even read the scripture, so now you know where it's going. But this is not a picture of God standing outside the door knocking.
All right.
Oh, ain't no doorknob on the outside of the door. No, that's not the point here. The point of it is, he said, behold, he said, y'all put me out of church. There are churches in this town that they didn't put God out. They didn't put Jesus out of the church. All they're talking about now is singing, miming, and got the high-powered organ player. And that's who they need to be putting out.
All right.
You go to church and preacher preach 10 minutes, 15 songs. Dancing and running all around. Won't be tired. Preacher preach 10 minutes. That's a sign to God. Then he puts God out of the church.
Amen.
Sanctified nightclub. Hire some bartenders. Some holy water. Oh, listen. Listen what he says in verse 20. I want y'all to get this scripture right. Because I know somebody's going to say, oh, you preach on Revelation. That's my favorite verse 20. He's standing outside the door knocking. No, God's not standing outside your door knocking. Unsaved man, unsaved woman. He's not standing outside your door knocking. Okay? You won't hear it. The only way you're going to be saved is God saves you. He's not going to knock on your door. God must be speaking to me. No. You unsaved. Or you need a praying grandmother. Or you need a praying cousin. Or you need somebody to pray for you that God, by His grace, will save you. He said, behold, verse 20, I stand at the door. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what he said. I stand at the door and knock because y'all put me out. Left my keys in. If any man hear my voice, and that word hear means if you have an understanding of what I'm saying. Okay? We can hear a whole lot of things. He said, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what it's going to take to get you to heaven? You don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't have that kind of ear. I don't want to hear. I'm not opening the door because I don't want to hear that. This is what it says. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And that day they ate 3 meals a day. Breakfast was light. Lunch was light. But dinner was, oh, that was supper time. And that was a special time. That was a time of intimacy. So when you young men and young women, first thing you do when you want to meet someone, the woman of your dream, or and he's going to say, let's go out to dinner. You can't hide at dinner time. How you eat tell a lot about you. I'll be working with mine. He's like, he got food all over the place. You get one date with the woman of your dreams. Look, dinner time is a picture of, he said, let me come in and we get intimate. We get personal. See, you going to heaven, you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's got to be personal. You got to spend some time with him. Oh, they can't always be around the church, folks. Sometimes you got to say, listen, just shut the door. It's just me and Jesus for a while. You know, just me and Jesus for a while. Thank you. You know, y'all go ahead outside and do what you got to do. I need to spend time with Jesus. We getting ready to suck together. He's getting ready to talk to me. He's getting ready to counsel me. He's getting ready to maybe rebuke me. Oh, preachers need rebuking. Preachers need chastening. Jesus knew what he's talking about in Matthew 18. He said, forbid not the children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And he's not talking about children in the sense of ages. He's talking about all of us have a childlike faith. And to get to heaven, you have to have a childlike faith. And a childlike faith is a faith that you can develop and work with. Some of us come to Jesus 50, 60 years old and we stuck in our ways. And we're not moving. We're just going to heaven on our own terms. But you have to receive the word of God with meekness and gladness. And then God, give God something to work with. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. This personal. This is a picture of that anointing. It's an internal. This is not you sitting with Jesus. He's on the outside. He wants to come into you. He wants to come into you and sup with you. And he with me. Oh. Is Jesus in you? Do you have the real stuff? Do you have the right stuff? Are you working with the right stuff? Do you have the Holy Spirit? I know we Baptist folk, we don't like talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, but when you got saved, when God saved you, let me put it right, when God saved you, did he fill you with power? Did he fill you with power? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, we didn't come to you in word only, but power. Do you have some power? I'm not saying you and I are going to struggle, but are you winning the battle? Are you winning? You going to take a few shots? My buddy Jake was fighting last Friday night and he took some shots. He took some hits, but he won the fight. He was in the fight. Do you have power to finish the course? Are you ready to quit? Are you looking to your corner man and saying, and he hoping he waving a white flag? Grow it in. This is getting too rough. Ministry hard. And ministry's tough. You need the power of God to do ministry. This church was doing it on their own resources, but when it came down to it, none of them was going to heaven because God was sitting out saying, if any man open the door, there wasn't a saved person in this church. Imagine that, a mega church with not one saved person in it. No one willing to open the door. to let Jesus Christ in. My Lord. My Lord. Verse 21, I'm going to close. To him that overcometh. He's still begging. He's still begging. He's still saying, one of y'all in this church, there's got to be one folk, one person in here willing to open this door. So we get so caught up, well, you know, if I move, if I do this, these group of people in this clique in the church, they're going to like me. And if I say hi to this person and strike up a conversation with this person, this clique over here ain't going to like me. Man, it's time out for all that. We got to overcome some things. Ministry going to cost you something. You see, we want a ministry that costs us nothing. Nothing. I have a scripture I'm looking for. Listen. I'm going to give you one last one. I'm going to close. I'm going to let Reverend Jones get up here and pray. We're going to do communion. Listen, Matthew 13, 44. My point is, it's just going to cost you something. Just like some of you in here that have children, it costs you something. Some of us in here that have college degrees, it costs us something. You just couldn't run with knuckleheads in college. You don't want to run with the guy getting all F's and flunking out. And you just got to find, I mean, it's going Spurgeon said something about preachers. He said, preacher, let me tell you something. You can't run with goats all week and preach the sheep on Sunday.
All right.
Amen. It's going to cost you something. Matthew 13:44. Let me say, again. I mean, how many parables did he give starting out with the kingdom of heaven? It's all about heaven, folks. It's all about heaven. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The which when a man have found, he hideth. It's precious to him.
Yeah.
And for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and brought it. Jesus is saying, I'm that great pearl. I'm that great pearl worth selling out everything. How much has your Christianity cost you? How much has it cost you? I'm not talking about giving to the church. I don't want you to, at the end of the year, I get a statement back. It cost me $4,000 or $2,000 or whatever you get. I'm not talking about that. How much has it cost you? What has it cost you to give up? It's costing me every day. I'm making decisions. I thank God for Reverend John praying for me because I got decisions on my mind. Things that God has called me to do, even this day. It's cost me some stuff. Those that know me, and God said, put them golf clubs down, it cost me that. It cost me more stuff than that. A lot of friends, a lot of family members.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm dealing with some things right now. Keep me in prayer, but God has already spoke. This is what you got to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the warden say, well, you need to talk to me. I don't need to talk to you. I need to talk to God. Come to my office the other day. Yeah, I need to talk to you about some things. Well, I already talked to God about it. This is what I need to do. Well, you need to make sure. See, that's how the world do. He's the author of confusion.
Amen.
And he don't care who he use. He just needs a body. Listen, he that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am set down with my Father in his throne. And he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the church. Listen, I want to sit down on the throne with my Father in heaven.
Amen.
That's the goal. I want to sit down with the Father in heaven. I'm tired of standing and defending ourselves down here. This is just the beginning. And God's going to sit us down. That's a picture of rest. And we can relax. See, the Bible in Revelation 4 says, in the city of hell, there's no rest.
Right.
See, if you go to hell, I don't care how tired you get. There's no rest in hell. Okay? Imagine that. Imagine the day that you were the most tired. The worst day of your life. You couldn't sleep, and you can't sleep, and can't sleep. You know, some folks just can't sleep. How miserable a life that is. You know, it's a blessing from God to be able to sleep. There are folks taking medication and inducing. I mean, Michael Jackson couldn't sleep. You get to hell and there's no rest in hell. Thank you for rest, Lord. Thank you for rest. Thank you for ears to hear. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that we are not rich, and that we are not wretched, that we are not poor, that we need you for everything. Father God, we need you for everything. We need you every step of the way. God forbid if we be like Joshua in the Hebrew children who went in there without praying. Without praying, and it cost them 36 men. It cost them 36 men. Father God, we want to be prayerful in everything. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father God, for all the seven churches. All of them represent churches today, Father God. I don't know where this church stands, Father God, but I believe we right there in Smyrna in Philadelphia, and we just looking for you to open up a great door. Father God, but before you open that great door, Father God, I know you want to rebuke us. You're going to chasten us. Father God, this might not be pretty. Rebuilding isn't pretty, Father God. Setting a foundation, digging in that stone, Father God. We want to be like the wise man, Father God. Oh, Father God, we don't want to build nothing in sand and like Joanne said, it just sink in the sand. Give us the strength, that little strength you gave the Church of Philadelphia. Just a little strength to break through that rock so we can build something, not for us, but for ages to come, for our children and their children, Father God. Let us set a strong and steady foundation, Father God, so we can do your work. Father God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now is the day of salvation. Amen.
Need to have an ear, let them hear.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I just wrote my Bible here. I got put God up, talking to church folks. And then over here it says, someone open the church doors up, please. We love the Lord and we love the Word of God. And this is a time where the doors of the church was open on the day of Pentecost and the doors have been open. But God, as I said the past 2 weeks, stands at the door with his eyes on wide open. But if we got the door closed in front of him, we don't know that he's standing there like this.
Amen.
So someone open up the door of your heart is the word today. To invite somebody in. You know, sometimes we judge people. You ever met somebody that you didn't like the first time you seen them? Just something that you've got. Something about you, I don't like. Well, we got to open up our heart.
Yeah.
Because there was somebody the first time they seen you, they said, ooh.
Amen.
Something about that.
Because
ain't none of us perfect.
Amen. That's right.
But God loves us all. He loves us, and over the weeks we done learned how he done gave grace to each and every one of us. He gave Jezebel grace.
Yeah.
Grace and grace. And allow her opportunity and privilege to be able to come and do that which was right before the Lord. Some hear, they have an ear to hear, some don't. The doors of the church is open in the house here, and I see it's mostly family, and I know my cousin is also already in the church, but we want that you would come to the Lord, if you know him not as your personal Savior, to come down and stand before him and say, Lord, I surrender all. I give up, I give in, because I need to be saved.
Yes.
I believe there is a burning hell. It don't matter whether if somebody says, I don't believe in hell. It don't matter.
Amen.
God's word said it is one. So, and they say, I don't believe in heaven. Jehovah Witness is good about that. They ain't all going to heaven. Just 144,000 going to heaven. That's the children of Israel. I mean, come on. And they still, some of them are still claiming that they're in that 144,000. How many years has that been going on? You know, there's way past 144,000 people that already said, Jehovah Witness, I'm going to heaven. So some things we just have to know. But it's a personal thing with God. You have to know whether you're right in the Lord or not. It's a place of repentance that we stand at. And if it's not a member of the church, they're coming to join the church, it's a time for repentance also.
Amen.
It's time to be able to get ready to take the body and the blood of Christ. Are you ready? I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, but you got to know that you stand where you prepared to be able to take the body and the blood of Christ. Is there one that desires to come down today and say, I commit my life to the Lord, or I just need to be touched a special way?
All to thee.